Hey, so I've got a great sermon tonight. It's called Cravings. The Lord dropped this into my heart so heavily that I couldn't possibly have missed it. Here's how it happened. I've got like half a dozen sort of semi-finished Bible reading plans in my YouVersion Bible app, which I love, and it reminds me every day, it dings, and it says, hey, your streak is like 3 days long, or 5 days long, or 7 days long, and I'll miss it for 2 days, and it keeps reminding me. But anyway, came back from holidays mid-Jan, and this particular verse I'll be preaching out of today was in like, God didn't want me to miss it. It was coming up in all the Bible reading plans I had. I had a friend of mine text it to me just randomly. I had another dude who used to be a client of mine when I was a business coach. He rang me. He reminded me of this verse. God did not want me to miss this verse, right? So I sat down and I said, all right, Lord, I don't know what you want me to see in this. And no joke, easier than falling off a log. God just revealed it to me tonight. So I'm going to share it with you tonight. I hope you're excited. I know I am. Let's pray and then we'll get into it. God, we just love you so much, and your word never returns void. In the beginning, you said, let there be light, and when we look outside, we see that your word is as relevant today as it was billions of years ago. So thank you, Lord God, that you've written your word indelibly so that we cannot miss it, and we pray tonight that your word written doesn't return void in the lives of the people who hear it tonight. So just be with us and minister to us and minister to me as well as I'm sharing this word, and we just thank you that your Holy Spirit is here with us. We pray together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Alrighty. So for those of you that love to take notes, there's stacks here tonight, and there's some quotables and there's some tweetables and all that sort of stuff, and I've got a 5-point sermon. Here we go. So 2 Chronicles 7:14 is where we're going to be tonight, and then we're going to be in a whole bunch of other different parts of the Bible as well, but this is our main verse tonight. This is what the main message is coming out of. It says this. This is from the Amplified. I took it from the Amplified. I liked what was in the NIV, but I took it over into the Amplified as I sometimes do. Before this particular word, crave, that appeared here, it says this. Oh, by the way, so this is God in person talking to Solomon, who's just rebuilt the temple, and God's manifest here. He's in the room. What it reminded me of is where we're headed with the rebuild of the Energizer building, right? So that's where my head was at when I was thinking about this. So imagine instead of Solomon, we've got Pastor Dave, and God's here. And my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek. Then it says, crave, require as a necessity my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Right? I'll read it again because there's heaps in it and we're going to talk about it. It says, God talking to Pastor Dave. And my people, that's you, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek, crave, or require as a necessity my face, and turn from their wicked ways, and then I will hear them from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Here's the 5 things I took out of it. We're going to talk about this tonight. Number 1 is that you're called. We sang that before, right? We're called, we're chosen, right? So number 1. Number 2, humble yourself. 3, pray. 4, seek his face. Don't worry, I'm going to go through them slower later. 4, seek his face. And 5, repent. You're called, humble yourself, pray, seek his face, and repent. Let's talk about being called. So being called means that you are chosen, means that you're set apart. It means that somebody, somewhere, if you are called, has seen a potential in you. God has seen a potential in you. God has placed a potential in you, and then he's called it out. God put the potential in you in a secret place. He hid it there when he knitted you together in your mother's womb, and now he's calling that potential out. You're not necessarily called to something humongous. And you know what? It doesn't even matter if you're not called to something, called to like street ministry, or called to preach, or you're not called to play the drums. It's not that kind of calling. In fact, it doesn't even matter what you're called to. You don't have to be called to an overseas mission. You don't have to be called to be an evangelist. You don't have to be called to anything. So if you don't understand a calling, then you have to perhaps have a look at the caller. Because it's more important to understand the caller than the calling. Because to be called, you've got to look at the caller ID to see who's calling you. Now, I get a lot of calls. I get fake calls. I get prank calls. I get calls from Indian telemarketer scammers. I get all sorts of calls. And every time it comes through with no caller ID, what do I do? You don't have the satisfying click anymore. So actually, your response was correct. It makes no sound. So but I miss the old-fashioned telephones where you go, ping, and it actually resonates. Because then you hope they hear it on the other end. But not that you've got to tell your mom. But now, if you're called, you've got to know who is calling you. You've got to know who is calling you. You've got to know that God is calling you. You're not necessarily have to be called to anything big, and you don't have to wait as well to be called, because there might be some of you who think, oh yeah, a calling, that's all well and good for people who can perhaps sing. Like Jamie, who was up here speaking before, she can also sing, play bass guitar, ukulele, and a bit of piano. She's sickeningly talented and, you know, good speaker now as well. I got nothing left. You know, I'm going to have to learn to yodel or something if I want to compete with my own kids. It's really good. But you don't have to worry if you don't have a talent or a skill to be called. You have to wait until you're perfect. In fact, I was talking to Joe before. You don't have to get a degree to be called. You don't have to get a piece of paper to be called. Now, I'd love to go to Bible college. I'd love to go study theology and do all those sorts of things. But I don't have to worry about all that if I'm called. If I'm called. And I'm going to understand who's calling me. I'm going to prove this is true. I'm going to prove that God says this is true. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians, verse 1, 26 to 28. And then I'm going to skip a bit and do 30 to 31. This is from the NIV. It says this on the screen. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. It's because of Him that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, our holiness and redemption. Therefore, as it's written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. It doesn't matter if you are the lowly. It doesn't matter if, like me, when I was called, I was... Look, some might say that I'm still rough as guts. And that's fine. But I was even rougher. Really rough. I was totally and utterly, absolutely unprepared. Completely unprepared. When I was called, I was broke. When I was called, my mind wasn't quite how I wanted it to be. I was stressed. I was even, I would think, a bit manic here and there. I wasn't ready at all. Pastor Dave said, I want to put you in a little bit of leadership. I wasn't ready. I want to put you here. I wasn't ready. I want to do this. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for a lot of things. I wasn't ready to start a business. Goodness knows, Gaynor, we weren't ready to be parents when we had, what's her name? Jamie. But we were called. And when you're called, you can write this down, when you're called, you want to start to think about who the caller is. Because if you're called to a craving that's not a craving towards God, then it might not be the craving that takes you to where you want to go in your life. Number two, humble yourself. Goodness me, don't I love this one. What I should put at the end is humble yourself. That is a warning. Ask me how I know. Otherwise, you will be humbled. And that's not good. You won't like it. Giant hashtag. Humble yourself. You know, I work now in a corporate environment, and there's a girl who works under me. I'm her manager, which is kind of weird, being a manager and having a team. And she's boastful, and she's loud, and she's a whole bunch of things. She's very, very good at her job. And she's got on her laptop, stay humble, stay humble. And she's like, yeah, I'm so humble. I'm the most humble person. I'm so humble. Ask me how humble I am. I'm so humble. Humble's like one of my most amazing talents. Humble. And she can be. But, you know, if you've got to walk around saying you're humble, you're probably not. You get it, right? If you got a T-shirt that says humble, you're probably not. You probably want a bit more than what you've got. I'm going to talk about what stops us from humbling ourselves, and it's this thing called ego. I'm going to talk to you about ego. Ego, as I've said before, and I've said this, I've preached this up at the Durham Valley before, so if you've heard me say this before, please forgive me. I don't know where it originally comes from, someone a lot smarter than me, but ego is E-G-O, stands for edging God out. E-G-O, edging God out. One of my first coaches ever, he taught me that. I love it. Let me read this to you. It says here, talk about Sigmund Freud for a minute. He said there's six core needs of the ego. What is the ego? The ego, experts tell us, it's a sense of self-esteem. Self-importance was popularized by Freud. In other words, it's a conscious awareness. A conscious awareness. It helps you to feel good. The ego. And there's, I'm qualified as an ego state therapist. There's, in a healthy human being, there are 37 ego states in a healthy, well-organized human being. I call them mini-me's. It depends on which mini-me is driving today. If you're afraid in that moment, your fear ego is coming out. If you're boastful and proud, your boastful ego is coming out. There's a whole bunch. Ego is healthy too, by the way. I'm not saying ego is a bad thing. Ego is a good thing. We all have it. In fact, we were created with it. Adam and Eve were created with it. I'm going to talk about Adam and Eve just now. We're going to go to Genesis. I want to talk to you about the ego and how it fits in and how we can deal with it and how we can be aware of it. And if we're aware of it, then it's going to be easier for us to handle and easier for us to humble ourselves. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis 3, 4 through 8. The serpent told the woman, "You won't die. God knows that the moment you eat anything from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil." So that's where the temptation started, right? That's where the temptation started. Now I'm going to tell you what the six needs of the ego are, and then let's see if we can hear them in this next part of Genesis. Because the six needs of the ego, they were written in about 1895 by Sigmund Freud, right? 1895. That's a fair way after Genesis was written. But he picked them out and he identified them. Here they are. I'm going to read. So here's the six core needs. It's the and if you want them off me after, if you can't write fast, apologize. It's all the need to blah. So if you just want it one word at a time, you can. It's the need to know, the need to judge, the need to justify, the need to be right, the need to look good, and the need to get even. They're the six needs of the ego. Not to be confused with Tony Robbins' six core needs. Pastor Dave was doing some Tony Robbins this morning. Was that this morning? I think it was this morning. Now, let me read out of Genesis. And what I'm going to do is I read out of Genesis. The reason I'm reading this is so that you can feel normal, right? This isn't so you can feel bad. This isn't so you can think, oh, wow, I've got to go self-examine and investigate my navel and sit under a tree for a few weeks. And like, you know, no. This is just so that you can understand that it's been with us since the start of time. It's been with us since God created us. Since God made Adam from the dirt and then formed Eve from his rib, it's been with us. So it's normal, right? I'm telling you it's normal so you don't feel bad about it. Here's what happened. When the woman saw that the tree looked like some good eating and realized what she would get out of it, need to know, she'd know everything. She took and ate the fruit and then gave some to her husband and he ate it. Immediately, the two of them did see what was really going on and saw themselves naked. Need to judge. They sewed fig leaves together, need to look good, as makeshift clothes for themselves. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and wife hid, need to be right. In the trees of the garden, they hid from God. He said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid." God said, "Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me the fruit from the tree. Need to get even. And yes, I ate it." God said to the woman, "What is that you've done?" She said, "The serpent seduced me. Need to justify. And I ate." It's been with us forever. It's been with us forever. Freud brought it out in 1895 thinking he was all that. God had already put it in there. It's in you and it's in me. Why do I tell you this? Just so we can be aware of the... Look, we are all walking, talking, freckled skin bags full of emotion. All of us. No one's perfect. When we're in church life as Christians, it can be really easy to tap into need to judge. but realize that everyone's got their stuff going on. So we're going to look at our stuff on our journey and our relationship with God, right? Is that cool? Everyone going okay? Number three, pray. Pray. I'm going to follow on out of 2 Chronicles. I just want to go to 2 Chronicles 7:15. Listen to this. This is the next part. It says, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer offered in this place." Tonight we're going to ask you to come forward at the end of this sermon. We're going to ask you to come forward for prayer. Do you know why? Because God's ears are open. He hears your prayers. God is ready to hear your prayers tonight. I know it because the Word of God says it. I know it's true because it's right here, and God's Word is God's Word. You know, prayer is an amazing privilege. I feel like I'm not centered. This is annoying me. Now I feel better. Prayer is an amazing privilege. You know, we have an open invitation. Really, really hear this. An open invitation for a conversation from the God of the universe. An open invitation for a conversation from the God of the universe. I would be so happy if I had an open invitation for a conversation with Elon Musk. I think he's a cool guy. I'd love to get a thing in the mail to say, "Dear Mr. Mullen, you are cordially invited to hang out with Elon Musk for an afternoon." I'd be really stoked. He's the Tesla guy for you young people who haven't been to school in a few months. I would be really, really stoked if I had an open invitation for a conversation with Pastor Dave. But I've got to book in with him once every 3 weeks. He's a busy man. I'd be really, really, really stoked if I had an open invitation for a conversation with somebody who was like a prime minister or a king. But I'm even luckier. So are you. Because you've got an open invitation for a conversation with God. How good is that? How good is that? Let me prove it. Just so you don't think I'm making clever things up to fill in 25 minutes in a sermon. Jeremiah 33:3, first part of it. God says, "Call to me and I'll answer you." We also have a promise that he hears us in Jeremiah 29:12. "You will call on me and come and pray to me and I'll listen to you." And guess what? You can share this with your friends who aren't even in church. You don't have to go to church to do this, by the way. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to be in your room with the doors locked, although it does say in the Bible that you can do that. You can go into a quiet place, you know, solitude by yourself and spend that intimate time with God. That's fine, but you don't have to. First time I really, really, really prayed and thought, you know, I'm actually praying to God today. I was walking from Hill Street into the city, and I wasn't a Christian. I'd never set foot in this church before. I didn't really know who God was. I wasn't so sure he was going to answer my prayer, but I had just this such a desperate day. I called out to God, and it was one of those days that you hear people who are now Christian that weren't at the time, like, "God, if you're there, if you're there, this is me. Hi, Grant. I don't know. But if you are, do this." If not, it was putting out the fleece, is what it's called, right? Didn't know that at the time. I had no, there was no, like, I wasn't a good Christian dude. You know, I didn't even think I'd ever, ever, ever come to church. If I did, I was so afraid. I thought if I said to Gaynor, wanted to start going to church, I was afraid that she would pack her suitcase and go back to mum. But God answered. God answered 7 years ago. 7 years. God answered just like that. Because he knew that I meant it. He knew I was talking to him. He knew I needed him. His ears were ready. His ears were open. They always were, but I wasn't. I wasn't ready. I wasn't open. I wasn't prepared. But he knew in that instant that he'd worked with me for long enough to make my heart supple enough for him to enter the heart that was supple and ready. Because before that, it was a hard heart. It was a heart that wasn't prepared to accept the love of Jesus Christ. It was a heart that wasn't prepared. It wasn't ready. So you can encourage people to keep calling out. And prayer doesn't need to be complicated, and it doesn't need to be over-spiritualized. It doesn't need to be all the right words. See, we have pre-service prayer, and we have all sorts of prayer. And as I said before, you know, if you want to be prayed for at the end of the service, come up to the front, be prayed for. But here's the thing. Some people don't pray because they're afraid they're not going to be able to pray well enough. You know, and I hear people, I've been, you know, I've run connect groups and done all that sort of stuff before, and I've heard all different kinds of prayer and all different styles. And I used to probably think, you know, gee whiz, I've got to up my prayer game here, you know. And before I received the Holy Spirit, I didn't have the gift of tongues, and, you know, I didn't know about any of that. Oh, goodness me, I mustn't be good enough. And someone would say, I think maybe Peter Swift might have done it in the early days, you know, because he's a great mentor and friend. He would have come up to me and said, Grant, can you pray for me? And I would have felt terribly unprepared, because here's this fellow who goes and prays for everyone else. And I see people, you know, crying and getting healed and all that sort of stuff. And Pete would come up to me and say, Grant, can you pray for me? And I'm like, I don't know the words. I don't know the words, but, you know, here's a great prayer. Here's a great prayer. Ready? Right now, I'm not going to give you the Lord's Prayer because you all know the Lord's Prayer, but here's a great prayer. Ready? That's a great prayer. That's a great prayer. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove it because it's in the Psalms. Psalm 38, 9 says, Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. Because it's the intention and the direction of the sigh, right? Because if I just look at my bank account and go, well, that's me whinging at ING or ANZ or NAB or whatever. But if I see my bank account and I turn it over and I go, and that sigh is directed with intention to my Heavenly Father, He's going to hear it. He's going to look in my heart. He's going to go, yeah, I know. Don't worry, Grant. I got this. Right? That's who our God is. How good is that? Have faith that you are loved and called, and that God loves you and He hears you. Point four, seek His face. Seek His face. Seek His face. Wow. This one for me, this was the one that I personally loved the most when I was preparing this, because I'm like, okay, seek His face. So every night when I was preparing, I've been preparing this sermon for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, on and off, not just all that time. Because it would be probably much better. But I would seek His face. What does that mean? So I would go to bed at the night time and I would try and imagine God's face. I'm like trying to, so I get, okay, Jesus, I can see His face, what I think it looks like. Beard, nice L'Oreal curls, Kerastase ad. I don't know how to seek Your face. So I went back and had a look. I thought, the characters in the Bible, how do they seek the face of God? I've got this. Seeking the Lord really means seeking His presence. Presence is a common translation of the Hebrew word face. I didn't know that. And once I knew that, that was much easier, because I don't know what God looks like because no one took a photo. I don't know what God looks like. I don't know what Jesus looks like because no one took a photo. I don't know. But seeking His presence, hey, that I can do, because that's a kinesthetic thing. That's a feeling. I can feel that. And I can tell that I can feel that because I know what it's like. So when I see my wife after I've been away for 3 weeks, I get a nice little tingle in my tummy. Like, it's Gaynor. I haven't seen her. And I get a bit excited. I feel love. I feel love. When I see with Jamie, he's been house sitting or whatever, I haven't seen her for a few, I see her again, my heart skips a beat. I see Jack playing the drums, and I look at him, and he's smiling, and he's happy, and he's doing a great job, and I look at him, I feel love. So when I seek the presence of God, I know the presence of God because I feel love in abundance. I feel love big time. I feel so when people go, oh yeah, God spoke to me, how do you know? Because I felt love. I felt the presence of God. I felt Him manifest in my heart, and I filled with love. That's how you can know. Seek His presence. Keep waiting and waiting and waiting and wait and wait until it rises up and wait until it bubbles up. And when you do, that's when you know. That's when you know. And you'll know. I mean, you know, you hear Christians say all the time, you just know that you know that you know. Well, that's one way. God's not hidden. We don't need to seek God in the same way that I constantly have to seek the remote for the Apple TV. Why can't they make that thing bigger? It is so small. If anyone's listening to this podcast from Apple today, make it bigger. or make it beep. You think they could make it beep. But see, God hasn't fallen down the back of your couch. He's not missing. You're missing. If you can't find him, it's not because he's not where he was. He is. You're not. So when you seek him, don't be like expecting God to move. You move. You got to move. You got to change some stuff maybe. Change some thinking maybe. Change some eating maybe. Change some habits maybe. Change some stuff, because what's happened is you've gone, hey, so God, things are going pretty well at the moment, right? Yep, cool, cool. So you're happy, I'm happy, no worries. Cool, so I'm going to go this way for a while. And you're going this way for a while and you're wandering around. You wander around the desert for 40 years and you're wandering around. You're wandering around and you're like, where do I leave God? And then you've got to do this thing that, I don't know, maybe I'm the only freak in the room that's had to do it, where you've got to backtrack through all the muck that you lay down and all of the decisions that you made, and you go, oh, wow, there you are, God. And he goes, yeah, I've been here all along. Because he has a move, you have. So, you know, this is for people who have maybe having a going through a faith journey at the moment. You know, and I just really feel there's someone here who's maybe going through a faith journey at the moment. They made that decision and they felt really excited. They were like, yeah, I'm going to make my decision for Jesus today. And I'm going to put my hand up in church and it's great and emotional. I feel that love in my heart and it's all great and fantastic. And now I'm a Christian. I can do whatever I want. And off they go and they do whatever they want and they're living a fantastic life. Where's that feeling gone? Well, the feeling's back where you left it. It's back where you left it. And that's why you've got to continually seek the presence of God. And I'm preaching to myself here as much as anyone else. Because I got to keep doing it, because I'm the same kind of schmuck that makes those same kind of mistakes. We've got to keep bringing ourselves back. And I know as I look at Pastor Dave and Alex, you'll probably say the same thing at certain seasons of your life. So it's not abnormal. You're all ridiculously normal. We all do this. That's why it's written down in the Word of God, so we'll be continually reminded of it. Seek his face. Because when we don't, we have a tendency to make ourselves bigger. And when we make ourselves bigger, God becomes smaller. The more we look at that's not God, and this is for somebody here today, the more we look at that's not God, another veil or another filter goes over your eyes. I'm not going to pray tonight because my Netflix series is just downloaded and I'm going to binge. I'm not going to pray tonight. I'm not going to seek God tonight. I'm going to seek the presence of God because family's coming over and I've got to cook. I'm not going to seek the presence of God tonight because I've got to study. I'm not going to seek the presence of God tonight because I've got to get up early tomorrow morning. And I'm not going to seek God tomorrow because I've got to work early and I've got to do this and I've got to go pick that person up and I've got to do these things and I've got to serve in church and I've got to do and I've got to do and I've got to do. And, got to, and all these filters go over your eyes and you're looking at all this other stuff. Well, right now, just take those filters off. Just even right now, just as we're talking together, take those filters off. And just think about all the stuff that you've maybe been worried about and thinking about and doing and busy and diaries and this and that and the other thing. And just think about what all that would be like if you had first sought the presence of God. How much easier would it be? Because God would just turn to you and say, hey, I got you. I got you. Don't worry. All of a sudden, God's talking like a New York taxi driver. Hey, it's okay. Don't worry about it. The more we separate ourselves from God, the more we try and figure out the harder stuff and the tricky stuff ourselves, the greater that distance becomes. And the harder it can feel. This is why I think we sometimes see people leave church, because they get too smart for their own good. You know, all these points go together. Pray and seek his face also links in with point number two, which is humble yourself. Right? It's not do one or the other. It's all of them. And I think sometimes we forget. You know, it's really easy. And Pastor Dave and I were having a bit of a joke last night. We went through some of the old Christmas videos that we had created here at Energizer Church. Pastor Alex dragged them out of the computer. And we're having a good old laugh. And Pastor Dave was saying about somebody who was upset, quite rightly, with one of the videos that I was in. For those of you that have been here a long time, you'll know which video I'm talking about. If you're new to church, forget it ever happened. And it's okay. It's okay. We're all in it together. And you know, somebody took exception to it and they turned up to Pastor Dave with a giant Bible, with a big Bible. We were laughing about it last night, but It actually happens, you know, like we become a bit righteous when we think we know too much. You know, so let's not let ourselves do that. Let's not do that. You know, it's yuck. It's yucky. Let's just make ourselves a promise to never do that. And if we see someone else doing that, don't tell them it's yucky. Just come alongside them and love them, because it's probably what they need most is some love. Okay, we're going to do this last point now that we're going to bring it home. Last one, the hardest point of all. It's repent. I don't want to do that. That's no fun. Repent. When I hear the word repent, I think of those old street preachers that wave their bony fingers at people and say, "You must repent." I put this quote up on the screen here. Check this out. Holy Spirit gave me this one. I'm not going to take credit for it. The distance between your hurt and your healing is the same exact distance as between your sin and your surrender. I'm just going to let that sink in for a sec. If the band wants to join me, that's cool. You know how I said a moment ago, we'll just leave that one up on the screen. Someone wants to write it down. Remember I said a moment ago about walking away from God? Remember I said that one? You were all here? Catch yourself walking away. Catch yourself walking away. And then before you take the second step, turn and walk back. That's the easiest version of repentance. You guys picking up what I'm putting down here? God and you, arm in arm, great relationship, filled with His presence, love, happiness, security, salvation. I'm going to do it my way. Catch yourself, turn, go back. Easier. Easier than all these steps over here. And by the way, if you get all the way over to Lauren and you catch yourself then, walk all the way back, because it's never too far to walk all the way back. It's never too far. You can walk all the way out the door, down the road to Three Little Ducks, sit there for an hour, realize you're doing what you shouldn't be doing, or thinking how you shouldn't be thinking, or being afraid how you shouldn't be afraid. Pick it up in your own brain, make a decision, backtrack all the way, and God will still be there. That's repenting. Repenting isn't... No, repenting is... Gently just backtrack through the things that you did, and by the grace of God, He's still there to love you. It's not hard. I want to say that I wrote this down. I don't want, Dale, I don't want you to think I'm talking about you when I say this. Stop being so stubborn. It's not about you. It's a little joke. A little joke, sometimes Dale is stubborn. It's not about you, Dale. Stop being so stubborn, and instead of holding tighter and tighter to the things that are causing you separation from God, let them go. Look at what they are right now and make a decision to drop it and straight away apologize. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've been doing this stuff. I've been thinking this way. I've been hanging out in this place. God, I'm sorry. You know the YouTube video of the dog carrying the big long branch? He's trying to get in through the small door. And he can't, and he can't, and he can't. He can't get in because the branch is wider than the door. That's you carrying your stuff. Drop it. And then go in through the door. Put it down. There's a branch inside. Don't worry about it. There's something better inside. It's not a branch. There's a juicy bone if you're a dog. Whatever's inside the door is so much better than what's outside the door. Whatever you think, whatever you're gathering up, whatever you're holding on to, whatever hurt, whatever non-forgiveness, whatever worry about what people think, whatever, 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 drop it, go in the door. That's it. It's easy. It's easy. It's easier than all the stuff that's in the world, let me tell you. Whatever you're carrying, if it's hurt, your past, your thoughts, desires, pains, fairness is a big one. Fairness. Things aren't fair. It's not fair. I can't do that. It's not fair. They're not fair. They're not fair. It's not equal. Drop it. Whatever it is, drop it. Right now. As I finish, I'm going to just still in 2 Chronicles 7. I'm just going to read from 2 Chronicles 7, 16, because I really believe in my heart that this is an important verse, not only just an important verse, but I believe it is a prophetic word for us as a church in this season now. And if it is, well, great. But if it's not, it's still a fantastic way to finish this thought. But I really believe God showed me this. It says, For now, I have chosen. I love this. You can't read that enough times. For now, for this present time, I, God, have chosen and sanctified and set apart for my purpose this house. That's you. This house. That my name may be here forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. It's not a difficult thing. It's not a difficult thing to choose to follow God and believe that Jesus led you there. It's not a hard thing. But there, it is a change thing. And there are some steps we can take. And it can be amazing.